Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, Friday, June the 12th, 2026. 13 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan tonight. Matt, how you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Well, as many people know, this is anniversary week, the end of anniversary week, 12th anniversary here at WGH Talk. And joining us via telephone tonight to share some of his favorite memories over the past 12 years is our webmaster and newsman and weatherman and obituarian. See, I just created that word. Adam Lepp. Adam, how you doing? The computer guy.
Scott S.S. Pears and Matthew, no relation to Robert W. Morgan. Not doing too bad. Gotta charge my phone here. Hold on, I gotta put there. That's much better. Wouldn't want the charger to go out on me.
You sound in a good mood tonight, Adam. It's good to talk with you.
Yeah, I don't have that Bluetooth. Even in the car, the volume just sucks. So we'll just try the old-fashioned speakerphone on the bed trick.
All right, Adam, it's 12 years. What are some memories that are on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm sure you're tired of hearing it, but the best memory from the station is...
I know what it is. I know what you're going to say.
And they're reissuing the staff, as our friend David, Mr. McFeely, told us. I mean, it's sad, Scott, that several people from that event have passed away. Handyman Negri recently, and Mrs. Rogers, Walt... I became rather friendly with him, the talented photographer whose work adorns the stamp and gave us some very good interviews. So certainly once in a lifetime, because three of the important people from that event have left the earth. As I said, I grew up watching Mr. Rogers, and many times I felt he was my only friend. And I just think his influence, his legacy, and interestingly, when I tell younger people about the station, you know, you and your interviewer to the stars and all that fun stuff, it's like I was telling somebody yesterday. He didn't know who Phil Donahue was. Now, a 24-year-old, someone about Matt's age, may not know who Phil Donahue is, which is okay, but I told him. You know, people have heard of Bill Cosby, but they've all heard of Mr. Rogers. And so that legacy just lives on. And we need more people like that. And the fact that I got Mr. McFeely recognized me from the popcorn festivities, and that I got to meet these people, got autographs, got photos again, including of the three people that have left the earth. I don't know. There's no way to replace that. It's some things really happen just once in a lifetime, and that's one of them. And I was so honored. I mean, meeting Lulu, who's also passed away, was great. I watched Hee-Haw, and I still watch it sometimes. So that certainly is up there. Even Karen Knotts. I said, she looks a bit like her father, someone, you know, almost like an idol to me, an incredible actor and comedian. And just interviewing her, getting pictures with her, that also was certainly up there.
Mm. Yeah, those are two events that we have not talked about. The trip to Pittsburgh for the Mr. Rogers stamp unveiling at WQED, the first public television station in the United States. And also the Lulu Roman came to WGH.
Yeah, she was so nice, so down to earth. Her outfit was just classic.
Yes, a yellow shirt and overalls.
And, you know, what a pleasure. Just get the photos, and it's pretty obvious who's the cute one in the photos with her. Sometimes it's not always obvious, but any photo with Lulu, a station person will unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, be second in line in the cuteness category.
Did you have a crush on Lulu, Adam?
You know, her hair, her giggles, her overalls.
This is new.
They're classic.
Did you have a crush on Lulu?
A professional crush. I mean, you know, like, same with Mr. McFeely. I mean, someone I'd consider to be an idol or almost an idol. Mr. Rogers, I would call an idol. Mr. McFeely, close. And the multiple Hee-Haw members, I mean, they're up there. It was a great show. We don't have variety shows anymore. I mean, you've talked about this on the air. We just don't. That at one time, many of the programs on network TV were variety. And, again, Carol Burnett is still around. I think she's, I'd imagine, you know, I'm not sure you've interviewed Carol Burnett, but I think Vicki Lawrence you did, or you met her. But I would think Carol Burnett would agree with me that we need more of that. People are afraid to be funny, and just the quality just isn't there like it was. And thankfully, some of these people are still with us, but we can remember those who aren't. Because even Mr. Rogers, he didn't always take himself too seriously. And Walt told us some funny stories, so even he didn't mind laughing at himself from time to time. But as I said, if anybody, any grown-up, as he would say, you want to idolize, who's not related to you, you don't even know the person personally when you're growing up, even if you are an adult, Mr. Rogers, if that's the person on that list, that's a pretty good person to be.
You know, it was very interesting. David was here twice, and then we went to Pittsburgh for that big event. And it was very interesting to me because I did not watch a lot of Mr. Rogers. I knew what it was, but it was not a big thing for me. But there were certain people who had an interesting affection for Mr. Rogers. But I didn't have that. I used to tell David that. I said, you know, I think you did a good show, but I don't have that big affection that certain people have.
Yeah, I think it was obvious. You know, I was starstruck, but also saw him as a bit of a colleague. We're a similar business. We communicate, entertain, and educate people. I'm not claiming to be Mr. Rogers or Mr. McFeely, but our goal is similar. And I believe every experience you have in life, you learn something. And it might be from laughter, it might be from some fact that is presented to you, or just being around something.
So what other things?
One of the coolest parts of that experience was just my interaction with the former Postmaster General, postmistress, Megan. I said, you know, I've told you this story hundreds of times. First, I call her Megan. She didn't seem to mind, but I think she liked that I called her Megan. And she just went, I asked, could we interview you on our station in Marion, Ohio? And she says, just a minute, honey. And then she comes on over, and she was so sweet. And I was just so upset. You know, I have this list, Scott, of things that Donald has done, this administration or last, that I'm pissed off about. And I don't like that he got into it with her because he wanted to raise rates for Amazon, you know, not have fair pricing, just like having net neutrality. Donald doesn't understand that, which makes no sense at all to someone who's always posting on social media with his opinions. So he didn't want to have fair pricing, and he hired Lewis DeJoy to replace her, and she retired early. So, you know, that's on that list, you know, that top 10 things Donald has done that have pissed me off. I'm not a people smart person, Scott, but professionally, I think I can make some judgments. I was very, yes, Megan was very nice, but I was impressed with her. And I know it takes a lot to be the first female Postmaster General, and I respect her for that. And I don't know what she's doing now. I think she's just retired. But whatever she's doing, I'm sure she's an asset to her environment.
Well, I don't think Mr. McFeely's a fan of the president because of the cuts to public television.
I'm not a Donald supporter. I'm independent, which has come to me. I don't like any of them. But there are things that Donald has done that he stands for that I do like, that I do agree with. As I said, the best president in my opinion in my lifetime was Clinton, who was not a perfect man, but he sure could run the economy well, and he was very smart. So maybe we'll get back to that.
Well, we'll see.
But right now, you know, we have maybe this is kind of ironic, Scott. I could think of like the two cities in Ohio that I have a connection with, the one city in Illinois. Let's take all the governors and mayors. That's five people, okay? I just thought about this. I think of all those five people, I think actually Mayor Bill Collins, or Welcome Collins, whatever his name is probably the one that I have the highest opinion of, probably because I respect law enforcement. I think he was a good police chief, and I think politically his views and many of his views probably are similar to mine. He's just not media-friendly. He doesn't have any charisma, which I think is important. So, you know, give Mike DeWine credit for being nice to you, being nice to the station is being nice to me, because some part of it. I think in general he comes across as a nice man, and just as a governor, he ain't too great.
So now, what values do you line up with Bill Collins?
Well, I don't know a lot of his viewpoints because he
But you
really
said you lined up with him. I'm confused.
I'm just thinking, we've discussed this before. Like I said, I thought Scott Churchill was a very moderate Democrat and probably would agree with him on some issues. I don't really know a lot of his viewpoints.
So how do you line up if you don't know any of his viewpoints?
In a smaller city, you don't go through these national issues like you would in a large city or even a governor or, of course, someone in U.S. government.
No, Adam, I'm just curious.
Economically, we're probably, about the same level of conservative. We probably don't agree on abortion. We probably agree on things like the transgender sports issue. Environmentally, being pro-law enforcement, being tough on criminals, tough on DUI, we're probably aligned on that. But a lot of it is just what I think, because I don't really know.
Well, you sound more like Mike DeWine there. That sounds like Mike DeWine.
So I'm just kind of going by someone in law enforcement, what that mentality might be. But no, I might be totally wrong.
I don't know.
If I would have meet Bill Collins, Scott, you meet Jack Kellogg. I like anybody in the world, even the most liberal person, has a dislike for Jack Kellogg. Because as a man, he's so likable. I think we can agree on that. He and Mariella may not agree on many issues, but I would imagine that as people, they respect each other greatly. And again, Jack Kellogg, he's before my time being associated with Marion, but he seems like he was fairly moderate. So again, I probably would agree with him on a lot of issues. Not all of them. But again, he does have that charisma. And that's what just kind of stinks about Collins. I just wish I knew, more about his beliefs, not just what I think his beliefs are, and that, he would at least come on with you at least once every 6 months. Not even once a month like Scott did. But it'd be nice if a couple times a year he would come on and, do more than grunt. So maybe he will. I get the feeling he will at some point, Scott, because, again, even Sam Donaldson said you're persistent. So if you can be persistent and get Sam Donaldson to be one of your BFFs, I'm sure you can come around to Bill Collins.
Maybe.
That's Sam for you, Scott. He's one of your BFFs.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I'm just curious why you think you line up more with Bill Collins than anybody else if you don't know.
Again, I respect law enforcement. Being a police chief is not an easy job. I am pro-law enforcement. And right now, the attitude in this country is that we should defund the police. I don't agree with that.
Now, who says that?
There are bad apples in all bunches.
I think the defund the police thing.
Maybe I would say he's way to the right.
What?
I don't know. I'm just saying what I think, Scott. I don't know the guy. If he'd come on, and you would go issue by issue, A through Z.
No, I understand you don't know. That's why I'm confused.
And you would say, agrees with Adam, doesn't.
Now, Adam, hold on a second here. Adam, can I get a question in? Hold on.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, no, my question is I'm just confused if you don't know where he stands on the issues, why you would say you feel
I'm
like you lined up.
I
didn't even get the question out.
I think I probably was. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You're right. I don't know.
No, but I'm just confused. Adam, hold on. Let me. When I get done with the question, I'll say your name. Here's the thing. I'm confused because you say you line up with Bill Collins more than any other mayor, and I'm confused because you say you don't know how Bill Collins lines up on anything. Here's the rest of the question.
I'm sorry, I'm going to rephrase what I said. You go right ahead.
Okay, the rest of the question is I assume you were lumping Mayor Schertzer in there, as well as Jack Kellogg, and the mayor of the city that you live in now, and the mayor of the city of Columbus. Now, do you know all their issues on everything, how they feel
I'm
about everything?
I'm pretty well versed on Mayor Johnson and Mayor Ginther, yes. And I'm
but Mayor Schertzer?
Saying I'm not a fan would be generous, yes.
Right. So, but I'm saying Mayor Schertzer. Do you know how he lined up on everything?
In hearing the show, yes. Again, maybe I'm wrong, and we've discussed this. He seems like a fairly moderate Democrat, but understand in a smaller city, the parties don't mean as much.
Right. So you just see Democrat, and you think that's not lining up.
I didn't hear an extremism from the guy. I didn't hear him saying, well, let's go ahead and get a caravan of illegals. Let's raise the minimum wage to $25. Let's go ahead and make climate change the most important issue of the day. I didn't hear any of that.
No, but who did you hear that from?
I'm not saying I heard it from anybody.
Well, then I'm...
Well, I would say there are several big city mayors that put illegals ahead of citizens and hardworking Americans. I'll say that.
Okay. Well, but who is that? I guess is my point.
I would say name a mayor from a major city known to be very much to the left, and that likely would be, I mean, maybe not to that extreme, but someone who would certainly be way too lenient on people that are here illegally, who are criminals by definition.
Okay.
That's what illegal means. It means you did something illegal. It may not be a serious crime. Again, running a stop sign is illegal, but it doesn't mean you're a criminal. But breaking into the country is a different matter.
Right, but who is pro-illegal immigration?
Oh, I would say most of the big city mayors that are in the news for being very liberal would be.
I think, you know, most...
Pro is tricky. It's a tricky word.
I don't think...
But, you know, there are people that are saying, again, I don't know the whole story, Scott, but there are, you know, more than a few people that have said that Chicago would not lose the Bears if the monetary and, not just monetary, but physical, you know, monetary and just general efforts to be much too kind to people that are not here legally. If those didn't take place and the money was put forth to keep an important football team in a great city.
The Bears themselves said they
moved. I don't know the whole story, but I think, and I understand that, you know, the Jets and Giants played.
Who says these things to you, Adam?
The Midwest to me is different. You know,
Adam,
Los Angeles is a football team.
Adam, who says these things to you?
I think things that I read.
But you
I don't
said,
have
you
these.
Said,
I'm just I'm saying general, you know.
You said people
it's,
say.
It's a whole spectrum, Scott, of consensus.
All right. Well, okay. Matt, what is the reason the Bears are leaving Chicago, possibly?
The Bears, a spokesperson for the Bears, they themselves said that they regret that they have to leave the city of Chicago, but they couldn't find any... Basically, it was just a land issue. They couldn't find somewhere to build a new stadium. And they wanted to build a domed stadium that has better parking and things like that around it to accommodate for the stadium.
I guess what's kind of interesting, Matt, is how does that not affect Wrigley Field? In the middle of a residential area, parking is next to impossible.
That's why they're moving.
And it's a small stadium. They just recently, you know, relatively recently, put lights in.
Is
relatively
the,
recently.
That,
not
that,
like yesterday, but I mean,
is that
know,
the Cubs?
My lifetime,
yeah.
And I believe in your lifetime. I forget the exact year. But
what does that have to do with immigration? I'm confused.
Nothing. He just mentioned about stadiums.
No, but isn't that why you said the Bears were moving? You heard from people?
I have not seen that. That was a... You twist things, Scott. You
no,
love
I'm asking a question.
No, I thought that's what I heard also, okay?
I'm just asking a question.
And let's say that efforts are being made to be way too kind to people that are breaking the law to begin with by even being in this country.
Right, but I'm... This
we
is
need
a
to put through an effort. And it may not be a successful effort. But at least put through
right,
an effort,
Adam,
including through funding to keep a major league sports team
right.
in the city.
Adam, this is a question, not a statement. I'm not trying to twist anything. You brought up the Bears. Nobody was talking about the Bears because you were talking about illegal immigration, and you said you heard from people that one of the reasons the Bears were leaving was because of illegal immigration.
Well, you're using an A equals B, B equals C, A equals C, Scott. That
is that not what
true.
You said?
I thought that's what was said.
It's a contributing factor.
Is it? Okay, so it is.
And that's not the same thing.
Okay, so you believe
that's I believe it is a contributing. It's one. I'm not an expert on the whole thing, and it is tricky because of all the demands, all the branding, you know, things that are beyond my own knowledge. Again, I'll use that goofy chemistry major excuse again. All I know is that I'd like to see the Bears stay in Chicago.
Well,
and
I don't think it's happening.
It's not a done deal yet, but it's not looking very good.
Well, there you go.
I mean, the Bears said that they've exhausted all of their opportunities in staying in the city of Chicago. I don't think they're staying in Chicago.
Right, well, they're not going to blame it. You know, they're going to blame it on somebody. I would say I would have said the same thing. But again, we kind of talked about the mayors, that most of these big city mayors are very liberal, and I'm not a fan of any of them, which is why I would say if I were to know Mayor Bill Collins' political leanings, you know, beyond what I suspect, and I'm only suspecting, more than likely of all these people, the three people in question, he's the one whose beliefs I would be most aligned with. Doesn't mean I'd even agree with 20% of them, but how many things do I and Ginther or Johnson agree on? Abortion's probably about the only one. Maybe the environment to an extent.
So what?
I mean, Mayor Johnson is saying that restaurants are racist. I mean, that's something that's gotten a lot of publicity. I mean, he's not saying directly, but you know, he's saying that there's racism in the restaurant industry.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, it is interesting, you know.
I don't know. I don't know. All I'm saying is I'm not sure what anybody's beliefs are on anything.
I've never quite, again, beliefs can change. I'm telling my beliefs will waver. But right. A lot of the core stuff really hasn't changed. And again, I am pro-law enforcement. So somebody who has a law enforcement background will already have some points on the good side with me, even if I find other things I don't agree with. So, for example, I don't think Bill Collins would be a defund the police person.
Now, who is? That's my question.
Certainly, I would say Johnson is of that variety. He has mentioned about the prison system being racist, which to me is in that same group of beliefs that I would say that would be anti-law enforcement in a general sense.
Uh-huh.
I try not to hear too much of it, Scott, because it's just aggravating.
Right. Well, no, I don't know.
And, you know, Ginther, I've never been a fan of the guy since he was on city council.
Well, so what are your other favorite memories of WGH?
Well, let's see. And why don't you answer the question for me?
What your favorite memories are?
Yeah.
I don't know what your favorite... I don't know.
Memories like the refrigerator studio at the mall.
The refrigerator?
Well, it was like a refrigerator.
Well, in the winter. In the summer, it was like a sauna.
Well, I remember going in there having to wear a coat and a scarf, and I couldn't even talk because I was shivering.
There were moments like that. Yes, there were. There were. Well, that's a happy moment.
Well, it was a comical moment.
Right. So, what other moments besides the trip to Pittsburgh and the meeting with Lulu stick out in your mind?
Don Knotts' daughter.
Don Knotts' daughter, yeah. I remember that.
Anybody else visited the station when I was there? Those are the only ones, right?
Probably.
Mary Ellen doesn't count because she's there so often. But yes, the first time I met her, certainly. And meeting Ted Williams when he kissed me, that was kind of fun.
Well, there you go.
Those are like the second tier. No offense to Mary Ellen, but she's just there so often. It's like you want something that's once in a lifetime.
Well, I don't know. I think doing shows with the 40th Treasurer of the United States is pretty once in a lifetime.
I would say.
So I should keep people away so they can be once in a lifetime.
No, it's just, you know, it's just different.
Well,
because she's from here. She's a local person. It's like I don't want to take away from what she is. What she's done, which has been incredible. But she is local.
Now that's interesting. Because you like to talk about when I say people, doctor versus Mr. or Mrs. or their first name and all
that.
Mary
Ellen and I discussed that also.
Yeah.
You remember?
What?
Well, I discussed that on the air with her about, you know, a similar topic. I said, what did you call the Clinton? She said, Hillary and Bill. She says she wants people to call her Mary Ellen. So I just thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Things have evolved, Scott. Like you said, your students call you Scott. That was unheard of when I went
through. Right, but my question of this...
Occasionally, and especially like an art teacher, certain types of teachers. But you know, your history English teacher, who's Mr. or Mrs.
Right, but my question is, based upon that, what do you qualify a celebrity versus a local person?
Well, I mean, yes, Mary Ellen really is a celebrity. And she should be, like, for example, in the celebrity interviews, but she's not. So, it just...
that's my question. How do you come to that?
Some of these are a judgment call. And I don't always say I agree with my own judgment, but I have to choose one of... It's like a candidate. Again, in the last presidential election, I wasn't pleased with either candidate, but I had to pick one. And I picked one of the two major ones. So I'm not saying I liked that person.
Right, well, that's my question. So how do you make that delineation?
And it's not always consistent, because honestly, Mary Ellen is certainly a bigger celebrity than some of the people in the celebrity interviews. I just see her as like, well, she's just part of the community. So, yeah, it's just she's kind of an other.
So what if I was doing this show in Lima? Now, would she be a celebrity then?
If she were not on all the time, possibly.
So the goal for you...
It is a call, and many times I have decided, is someone a celebrity, And I've also changed. Oh, no, this person's not a celebrity.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's a pretty easy delineation. If they're known...
No, you said if they're known nationally. Yeah, but it's a little... Yes, but it's a little different.
That's my question. What's the difference?
It's a judgment call, and it's not always consistent. You know, I'm a human being, Scott. I don't have to be perfect about my decisions.
Well, no, I don't...
Some people are obvious. Okay, Bill Cosby. Okay, he's a celebrity. Phil Donahue,
but what if Bill Cosby lived here?
But even Ashley, you know, she's not a big TV star, but she's been on major cable networks, but she's from here, so she's a celebrity.
Right, but
I guess it's kind of ironic if she were on all the time and if she were living here, if we went to her house and she cooked for us, maybe she wouldn't be. So that is a little weird. It's not consistent. You're right. It's not consistent. My answer is you're right.
No, I just asked. I don't think that was a you're right question. My question is what. So basically, what you're saying is this is all just opinion.
It's a what?
It's opinion.
Well, it's not consistent. There are some people that are obviously celebrities. You know, for example, no, I'm sorry, Naomi, you're not a celebrity, but you're a very interesting guest in person, very smart, great business owner. You know that I'm proud to proud you're a part of the station, but you're not a celebrity. Bill Cosby, like him or hate him, he's a celebrity.
Uh-huh. I'm just confused on...
You have a lot of people, and you have relatives of celebrities. Like, I think I called Karen Knott a celebrity. She's done some acting, and as far as I'm concerned, she's immediate family of someone that I personally consider almost an idol. So, again, I can use some of my own bias. I put her in the celebrity category. Again, my own bias is permitted, within reason.
I don't think anybody is worried about... I was just curious what your reasoning was.
Well, that's it. And it's not super consistent.
No, I don't think anybody has ever asked me that. I was just curious.
No, and you're right, Scott, and it's not always consistent.
Well, I know. There you go.
Mary
that's
Ellen is one that really is a celebrity, but she's just—it's just like like having a celebrity live next to you. The mystique isn't there because she's on all the time and she lives here, and we all know her. She's a friend of ours.
But she's still a celebrity.
I guess part of the celebrity is that it's someone that you still kind of look up in awe at. And we do look up in awe at her, but it's like, okay, but we still see her all the time.
I don't know that I've ever looked up in awe at anybody.
Well, you do respect Mary Ellen, right? You
don't I think I respect
people.
I respect local people. I mean, I don't think that
right. It is, there is a gray area, and that's just my answer, and it's not always consistent. And I have actually changed. Whom I call a celebrity. Some people are obvious, some aren't. And Naomi Craig, not a celebrity. Bill Cosby, Phil Donahue, Rosemary, that's Ray, the streak singer, Ray Stevens, they're celebrities. And you have the people in the middle.
Yeah, no, I mean, and maybe that's it with a doctor with me. Maybe it's just a personal opinion.
Right, and it is. It isn't always consistent.
Well, there you go. So I guess
which is okay. Because generally people, they aren't, they used to be. But people, and it's like just like the way people dress. I mean, how many men wear a suit and tie to work anymore? Just watch old TV shows. They all wore a suit and tie. Mike Brady was an architect. He wore a tie. Architects don't wear ties.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know any architects right now, but...
Yeah, well, I don't know the specific protocol, but I would say I wouldn't see many architects wearing a suit and tie to work, but Mike Brady wore one, and just things were different, and he called his boss Mr. Phillips. Nowadays, it's unlikely an architect would call his or her, and let's say his or her, because now there are female architects, something else you didn't see a lot in the older shows, of the man work, the woman... Might have done some stuff on the side, but didn't have an office type job like Mike Brady or Steve Douglas or those type of people did. And the man would call the boss by the formal title and dress formally. Those things have changed.
Now, Adam, I think you also wanted to tell us you have something coming up on Monday.
Yeah, I wanted to give you some juicy details.
All right,
you might like this, Matt. So, did you see one of the recent Facebook pictures I posted? I was a candy raver.
You were a what?
A candy raver?
No, I missed that. I don't even know what that is.
I'm old enough to be your father. You don't even, which I'm well, young father. I could be your young father. You know, and you don't even know what a candy raver, and I know what a
candy
raver.
Do you have some kids, Adam?
Well, I don't have any kids.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, probably not the father, then.
Neither do you.
Probably not. I'm not anybody's father either.
Well, a candy raver is more somebody like from the 90s who would, and you know what a rave is, right?
Yes.
You know what a rave is, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like an all-night party at a warehouse.
Are you anybody's father, Matt?
No.
Okay, go ahead. And, you know, just going crazy. Okay, so, well, my latest acting gig was I played a candy raver. And I did.
What is a candy raver? What is that?
Well, someone kind of dressed. Look at the picture of me that I posted. I think it was Monday.
Okay. But what do they do, I guess? Well,
it's just, you just dress it. You put on colorful bracelets and necklaces. You wear loose-fitting pants. And you just dance. You know, you just move your body a lot and just dance, like, kind of crazy. Not really in an organized way like ballroom dancing or disco. You just kind of just move your body and, you know, you tweak. So they might call tweaking now.
Okay.
So, that was my role. It was for a film by DePaul for their drama department. And it's a 22-minute film. And it may not even be available till next year, which I don't even quite understand. But I talked to the director earlier today, and that's what she told me. So it will be available. And when it is, you will see me as a candy raver. And lining up outside to get into the rave. And you'd like this too, Scott. I was even smoking a fake cigarette because you could smoke back then because it took place in the 90s.
What is a fake cigarette?
I was even smoking a fake cigarette in one of the scenes.
What is a fake cigarette?
Well, it's a prop cigarette. It basically looks like a cigarette with a little ash at the end. A little red light just flickers.
Oh, so
it looks like a vape, but you can't smoke.
So what's this movie about?
It's just about two young people who, one was like kind of depressed and was just kind of leaning on the male lead was kind of leaning on the female lead, and he was getting upset about a few things and while everybody was at the rave. That would be the short, very short version.
And it comes out Monday?
No. It may not be out till next year.
Oh. Well, what's happening Monday?
It's a student production. It's from DePaul's drama department.
Well, how did you get involved in that?
Applied for it.
Oh, okay. So,
But I just, interesting, you know, I think that I'm too old to be doing something that that would have been too old to do 30 years ago. I still got it. You know, Scott, and we filmed Monday during the day, and then we filmed between 7 and about 3 a.m. Wednesday night, and last night we filmed between about 7 p.m. and literally 5:30 a.m. We didn't, and they served us lunch, you know, at 1 a.m.
Is it a speaking role?
No, not a speaking role. However, most of the roles, except for the two leads, most of the roles had no lines or a few lines.
So you ate lunch at 1 in the morning?
Yeah, well, you know, we were all dancing. I mean, literally, most of what I was doing, you'll see me dancing. So, in fact, I was dancing so well, Scott, that, like, toward the end of the filming last night, the director just told me, just kind of tone it down a little bit. I was just dancing too aggressively.
That was because you were dancing well. He said tone it down.
I might be older, but, you know, I got it. I still got it.
So you were dancing, the strongness of your dancing, the director said, tone it down.
Some scenes they wanted us to dance a little crazy. Some they want, mainly because the male lead and three of the supporting characters were in the scene, and they didn't want it to look too crazy. So they had me and another person kind of doing a lot of dancing. The other ones were kind of just wiggling in place.
Well, that's very interesting. So what goes on Monday?
So Monday. I'm going to be, again, it's an extra role in a movie on the third part. It's called All About a Check. So you look it up. It's on Tubi. So it's available on Tubi. It's called All About a Check. This is the third one. You know, like they have Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, like 100 Rockies. This is the third All About a Check.
And that's available on Monday.
No, it'll be available. I would think within a month or two. All of if you go on Tubi, All About a Check 1 and 2 are available. Just search for them and you can watch them for free.
On Monday?
No, right today.
Okay.
All About a Check 1 and 2 have been out. If you look at it online, it's a rather popular series.
I bet. So now what happens on Monday, Adam?
It's about people in Milwaukee.
But what goes on Monday?
Monday is when I will be working.
Oh, okay. So you're continuing to work as a candy raver in...
No. The candy raver is over. That movie is done.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm moving on.
So what are you doing Monday?
Well, this is the fun part. I want to ask you for advice, because, you know...
Oh, okay. Well, I'm here for it, Adam.
Glenn was on, because, you know, Glenn's a man of the world, and he might be able to give me better advice. So it's about people in inner city Milwaukee. And I'm going to Milwaukee. The filming takes place in Milwaukee. It's only 90 miles from Chicago. It's an easy drive.
Right. What's taking place?
Well, the filming. The day that I'm performing.
The filming of what?
Of All About a Check 3.
Okay.
Aren't you listening?
I think so. No, but I'm... Okay.
Look it up on Wikipedia while we're talking.
Right, but I have not... Okay, so you'll be doing... What's the advice? What was the question?
No, the question is that, for Chicago Med, I play a nurse, sometimes a doctor, which, you know, I think I fit that persona really well. You know, I think I look like a nurse or a doctor. Would you agree with that? Probably not. You don't agree with anything. So, you know, the candy raver...
I like how you ask the question yourself.
I mean,
you don't need me here, Adam.
I used to go out a lot, Scott, and dance, and I really should do it more, because, I was actually pretty good, and I didn't... You know, didn't have a heart attack or anything. I was fine. I felt great. So,
is your heart in bad shape?
Well, I mean, anybody. I mean, raving is raving is hard work. The dancing is intense.
All right.
Well, if I was doing it, last night, this morning, I was doing it at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Okay, so we're in Milwaukee on Monday.
It's bedtime for somebody of my age, but you know. If you got it, use it, right?
Yeah, sure. But we're back on Monday, so you're going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to be in the third installment of something. But
all about a check. If you would just look it up on Wikipedia.
I understand. But what are you doing in this film?
No, that's all I want to lead up to. Is that what I'm saying is that unbelievable as a nurse or doctor or medical administrator. I think we can agree on that. I think I have that persona, right? And so, then I played a candy raver in I think it was officially called an LED or a TV room extra. I was in a room with TVs, basically in a warehouse. We filmed part of it outside, like waiting online. And so my role on Monday is, it was first of all supposed to be gangster, but the call sheet says thug/cop. So somewhere between thug...
You're a thug cop? You're pro police, Adam. You can't be a thug cop.
No, thug or cop. Thug/cop.
You don't know.
No, it's one or the other.
Well, which is it?
Anytime people play different roles. If you would watch Chicago Med, you would have noticed that I was a nurse and also a doctor on the same show. I was promoted. So.
So you're a thug being promoted to a police officer?
Well, thug or a police officer. What I suspect is that I'll be multiple roles.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so they don't have enough extras to fill...
They said gangster. Gangster was what I was cast as.
Okay, but they don't have enough...
I would have asked Glenn, because, he's a man of the world, and I think he would probably have advice. How would I play a gangster, Glenn? You and I are both nice people. We don't come across as gangsters. So how can I turn Adam, the nice, geeky guy who pulls off being a nurse like it's natural, to being a gangster?
Well, won't they give you an outfit...
They may give me some, yeah. We have, how we're supposed to come dressed as, but I just think it's kind of funny. It's like, and this was before I got the job at DePaul, because that was kind of last minute. But it's like I go from nurse or doctor, and then suddenly I'm cast as a gangster. And then
did they give you an outfit?
This makes it even better. That's why.
Did DePaul give you an outfit?
Some of it, yeah. The jewelry, if you look at the picture of me, did you see the picture of me?
No, I haven't found that yet, but I'll look for it.
It's just on Facebook. Look, it's like 3 or 4 pictures back.
I will, but...
Well, have Matt look and give him something to do.
Okay.
I was wearing, like, colorful necklaces and bracelets.
But
they gave, actually, if you see me in that sleeveless shirt, they gave that to me. And then the black pants that I wore the last two nights, those were theirs. But I wore my own shirt.
Was the jewelry yours?
Well, just the earrings, but those don't really count. I mean, the colorful jewelry.
So you're going to play a gangster on Monday, right?
Right.
In Milwaukee.
Right.
And you're going to have an outfit that they're going to give you.
I mean, they told me how to dress, but they might, a lot of things will change. Again, the script, especially on a smaller film, the script supervisors will constantly work on optimizing it. And a lot of extras, they don't show up, they're not that good. So, you never quite know.
Right. So the question is, what?
Well, I guess the question would be, again, my initial role was gangster, so let's just say that that's my role. Because, again, the call sheet varied a little bit. But that'll happen. There's nothing wrong with that. So, do you have advice for me, either of you, on how Adam can pull off being a gangster? Because Adam doesn't really have that gangster mentality. That's what I was going to ask Glenn about, because Glenn's kind of a man of the world. Again, I'm not saying he's a gangster. Glenn's a very likable guy, as I am. He's probably more likable than I am. So
Glenn's
done acting and other things. Again, he's a man of the world. I'm sure someone like him might have advice for me on how to pull off turning this, nice geeky Adam.
I can give you his phone number if you want.
Sorry, I have his phone number.
Oh, there you go. Call him up. I'm sure he'd be glad to advise you on this.
He's done acting, so it's like he's probably had the same thing. It's how do I turn nice, agreeable, smiling Glenn into a tough guy?
Don't smile.
Well, I don't really smile much anyway, so that's probably the first step.
What kind of gangster are you?
Scott, in turning Adam into this, into a less likable kind of a dude.
Squint your eyes.
That's it, squint my eyes?
Squint your eyes.
Okay.
Because it's not a speaking role, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah. Squint your eyes.
Might make it more difficult because you're speaking with your body and your expression.
Right. Gangsters don't want to be noticed, so squint your eyes.
Okay, so squint my eyes.
Squint your eyes, and don't smile.
Okay, that sounds like a Secret Service agent.
And wear dark clothes.
Yeah, well, that's already part of the outfit. So
what kind of gangster are you? Like a 1930s gangster, or are you a current age gangster?
I think it's more just current.
Current. Well, yeah, I've seen some gangsters.
God forbid you watch, you take time to watch the first and the second
Well, part. I might. I'm not saying I won't. How long are these things? What's the time frame?
It's a both movie about an hour and a half.
Oh, my movies. God.
It's a movie.
Oh, Lord.
It's like the Bad News Bears or Rocky. I mean, it's a movie with multiple, there's different ones. How many Rockies have there been, right?
Oh, too many.
This is the third one. If you look online, you'll see that it's eagerly anticipated.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Who's the star?
The characters develop, so there's an ongoing storyline.
Who's the star?
I think it's local actors from the production company and in Milwaukee.
So they wouldn't make the celebrity category of the webpage, right?
There are superstars who are stars, like Med, for example.
So they wouldn't make the celebrity category on the webpage.
From what I've seen, again, I don't know every actor in the Midwest, obviously. I would say that probably none of the stars would be in the celebrity, but they would be in the interesting category, but not over that line of being a celebrity.
Well, that's interesting, Adam. I think that's fascinating.
Maybe they will be someday.
No, I think it's fascinating. When you're in Milwaukee...
I mean, the two young adults who played the lead in the DePaul movie are... both very talented, and I see big things for them. I mean, they're both in their 20s. I think 10 years from now, they could be the star of a highly rated show. And both of them are limitless potential.
Well, that's good to know.
Who knows?
I think that's good. Now, Adam, what do you make of the big UFC fight on the lawn of the White House on Sunday?
Remind me what happened. Is it coming up, or it happened already?
No, it's Sunday. It's on the lawn of the White House, big UFC fight.
What's going to happen?
Somebody's going to fight Donald Trump? Huh?
Donald Trump? Or what?
No, I don't think he's going to fight.
No, the UFC is going to have, a whole bunch of matches on the yard. They're building a whole, ring and whatnot to have the UFC there.
I don't think I even heard about that.
Wow.
I think I was too busy trying to figure out how to do the best job I can in Milwaukee and trying to catch him on my sleep. Understand, I mean, I... got home at 6 a.m. this morning, and I actually did sleep a little bit.
Well, I think this is fascinating.
Well, I got to get ready. I'm probably going to get a room overnight on Sunday, so I'm just so I could be fresh and awake.
Are you going to go? Are you going to go to the UFC 250 event at the White House
on Sunday?
Yep.
It's kind of a long drive, so no, probably I wouldn't count on. Are you going?
No, it's there's 4,000 people allowed in the White House lawn, and it's invitation only. Other than that, you got to go.
Why isn't
like,
Donald Trump participating? He would be into that kind of thing.
It's Donald Trump's birthday. He's definitely going to be there. Donald Trump loves the UFC.
It's his 80th birthday.
Well, he owns part of it.
Yeah, it's Flag Day.
I did not know that.
Yeah. They're charging admission for this thing.
Well, of course. Why would it be free?
Well, it's on the lawn of the White House. You're not supposed to do that.
I was told... Well,
no, I
read.
Not positive.
I mean, I read that there were 4,000 people in the White House lawn, a maximum of 4,000 people in the White House lawn, and those are invitation only.
Well, I think they're paying.
That depends on
they're paying for invitations?
Right. No, because they got an invitation, they have to pay.
Well, I guess I don't know. That makes sense, I suppose. You just gotta, like, put yourself on, like, an interested list.
It's
and
like
they'll...
VIP.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, you're a VIP, Scott.
Yeah, I got my invitation, but I don't think I'm going.
Well, I would be better. Is Thunderbolt going?
No. I don't think Thunderbolt
will be there. I don't think Thunderbolt will be a fan of the UFC.
Okay. I didn't quite know.
You ever watch the UFC, Adam?
I would not say I'm a fan, no.
Okay. Well, Adam, it's been great talking with you. I'm glad that everything's going well. I'm glad you're headed to Milwaukee. You should do that Laverne and Shirley thing. That was in Milwaukee.
Well, I drink beer.
Well, I don't think they drank a lot of beer on Laverne and Shirley. That little dance they did at the beginning?
I'm going to try to go out a little bit tonight. I just have to make sure I'm up for Monday. I mean, I'm too old to be having these shoots going from, and after a full day, from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m., then I got to, it could be a 15-hour day on Monday.
Are you going to drink some Milwaukee, Adam?
Well, being in Milwaukee, Matt, I probably should have some Milwaukee beer, yes.
That's what's up.
Well, make sure you do that.
The Columbus and Ohio have a lot of great breweries. The Midwest in general,
Columbus is kind of crazy, actually. Like a lot of the bars in Columbus brew their own beer.
Well, Adam, I hope you have a safe trip.
I guess the summer is a better time to be in Milwaukee. It gets a little nippy over there.
Well, Adam, I hope you have a safe trip, and it's been a wonderful 12 years. And
I got another little story about last night. We got about 45 seconds, right?
Right. Go ahead.
We had a tornado warning during the shoot, so we had to like break for about 3 minutes, and we could just hear it. Yeah, there was and that's not common. So it was really windy. There was some damage in parts of Chicago, but there was a tornado warning. Not something you get a lot of here.
Well, I'm glad nothing bad happened, Adam. And like
thank goodness. It was just the thing is, we filmed a lot of it outside, and it was like after we had this torrential rain and thunderstorm and tornadoes expected in the area, but thankfully nothing happened. Just a lot of wind and thunder and rain, and it's like we went outside. It looked like the rain had evaporated because the ground was dry.
Well, that's very good. And well, Adam, like I said again, thanks, and I'm sure there's another 12 years right around the corner, because things seem to be at an all-time high right now. More people attended the party last night than ever, but more VIPs, and a lot of fun things going on in this area, the fair right around the corner.
I've not bored people with discussions of my life, the day in the life of Adam, but that's okay, right?
No, I don't think it bored anybody. I enjoyed it.
I'm sure Naomi will call next hour with her perspectives on... Marion at large, always interesting to hear from her, and she really does care about the community, but doesn't take herself too seriously, so she's fun to listen to.
I think so. I think everybody's fun. I don't know anybody who's not. Thank you, Adam.
Okay, bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Number 2, Marion Waldo Road, telephone number 740-225-4495, webpage CRT.